But let's start off tonight at Romans 15, verse 6. And just going to read through it to start. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Sounds simple. The outcome is bringing glory to God. And we can deny ourselves the right to correct everybody and to show them the right way and things like that. It's not by wisdom of words, but it's by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. So we need to sometimes just bear with somebody. If we can tell that they believe the gospel of salvation and are a believer, and they say something like, well, you know, I'm glad that you're born again like I am, believing that Christ died for our sins. Sometimes it's better to just bear with the infirmities, the weaknesses of others, or maybe it's of ourselves. And give them time to learn, though. Give them a pass, in other words, if they don't understand everything that you've studied so far. There is an application of the scripture that can help with the differences that we come up with. and it's the flesh that causes us to look down on people that are different. Follow after the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you know, the nine characteristics in our lives, growing in our lives. But barking at them to correct them, it doesn't help. It wouldn't help me, I know, if somebody pounced on me when I tried to bless them by saying, God bless you. Well, think about it from the other side. For some things, we can just say, thank you for your good wishes toward me, or something like that. Say something peaceful, you know. Look at the peaceful side. They may not have everything right, but they had good intentions toward you. They were trying to wish you well. Well, that's good. Thank them. And then let it go until the person has read more scripture, learned more about what the Bible actually says. We all have idiosyncrasies. You know, there's a difference between correcting somebody that is ready to be corrected and barking at somebody that's not ready to be corrected and saying, don't tell me God bless you. I'm already blessed. Well, that doesn't sound like you're blessed. anyway, our demeanor goes a long way to in expressing our ambassadorship to people and our duty of being an ambassador to them. Our demeanor, our attitude. So we need to be careful what we say. Let your speech be seasoned with grace, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God. So, we will be united in our approach, the approach of grace. I mean, that's the feature that we're relaxing into, that drew us into it. We're joyous about it. What a peace it brings to know that God has grace toward us. God is gracious with us in all his dealings. He doesn't spank every time we haven't grown to full manhood or maturity yet. It's a long trail growing up in the Lord. I mean, we're complete in him. All the parts are there. But we are told to edify one another, to seek those things by which we're edified. The gospel helps. That's the first part of the establishment, being established, Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. learning what Jesus told Paul, the revelation of the mystery, that helps too. And the studying the scriptures helps, but it takes time. There's no shortcut to spiritual maturity. There is no shortcut to spiritual maturity. Romans 15:7. Wherefore, in other words, because of all that he's said before, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. We can't make people into what we think they should be. God is the one that makes us righteous, makes us what he wants us to be. So, to the glory of God, Jesus Christ receives us as sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. As fully needing all help, right? Isn't that the way, that's the way I was received. And we're merely willing to receive. That's our job, to be willing to receive it from the Lord. He gives us salvation, forgives our sins, gives us the righteousness of God imputed to our account, and many other things too. But we didn't do it. We aren't good enough to earn it. We had many mistakes, many misunderstandings, yet to be corrected. I know with me, God works on one thing at a time, and people look at me and they see many things wrong with me, but God is only working on one thing at a time, usually. At least, that's all I'm aware of. He may be setting me up for future growth in another area, but that's because of our failings, the failings of our flesh. We can only, at least I can only, make one decision at a time, and that's the way we think. I don't know if that's linear or what, but it's just it's the way that I seem to be able to work things through in my head. That's why we make lists, right? So we can do one thing at a time and do it well, and then go to the next thing. Romans 15, verse 7, it concludes what I would call the first part of the chapter, which was pretty much connected with the 14th chapter, the chapter before. It's about receiving one another, helping one another, giving grace to one another. I think mercy is the word used in the text, but bearing with one another's infirmities or weaknesses. Infirmities is often used as a synonym, another term for the flesh. It's the part of the battle that we're in, okay? Why did Christ come to earth? We're moving in the study, we're moving into Christ's reasons for coming to earth, and we'll cover a brief summary of those in a few verses that'll cover Romans 15, verse 8 through Romans 15, verse 13. 8 through 13. So starting with verse 8 in Romans 15, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. And notice that word was. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises. Why? To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Were they made unto my fathers? I don't read that Christ made any special promises to the Scottish or to the English or the Chinese or the Romans or Arabs. It's talking obviously about Israel and the fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes that came and descended from Jacob's sons. It's crucial that we we need to see Christ came to the circumcision, to Israel, when he came on earth, and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Christ came to those that he was ministering to in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and early Acts. He was still ministering, according to Mark 16:20. That was the circumcision, Israel. That's not us. Not Gentiles like us. We're not direct, back then at least, we were not directly offered salvation. Back then, Gentiles were only offered salvation as they came into that commonwealth of Israel. And in that way, they came in under the covenants of promise made to Israel by blessing Israel, as it says in Genesis 12, 1-3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, just because this is in the Bible doesn't mean everybody should leave their homes. You know, it's not talking to everybody. You have to determine who the recipient is of these messages and covenants and commands, promises. It's Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. Unto a land that I will show thee. There's the first mention of the land. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee. That's Gentile salvation before Paul. That's the way any Gentile could be come to God, be right with God, by blessing Israel. The covenants were made with Israel. That was the way in. So I will curse him that curseth thee, which is Genesis 3:15 restated. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In Christ, the seed. The next four verses all talk about the Gentiles as coming to God through Israel. Through Israel. Not through the walking through the land back and forth, but through Israel's covenants, Israel's doctrine, Israel's commonwealth. Forgot the word. But that's the point. It's not by the gospel that Paul preached that Gentiles could come to God before Paul. It was talking about Jesus Christ as a minister of the circumcision and his earthly walk and the results of it. In other words, it's not talking about the body of Christ, these verses here. They're talking about how Gentiles came to God before Paul. As you may recall, this is one chapter, three chapters. All the information in them confirm the fact that at this time that this was written, there was a second sending of Paul, and it's even written down in Acts 22, verse 21. But going on here. It's not talking about the body of Christ. It's not talking about you and I, and we can't just grab a verse and say, this is what I need to do to be saved. Not in this section, Romans 15, 8-13 or so. We'll go on with the next few verses, 9-12. We'll see that it says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. In the next verse, verse 10, and again he saith, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. They're rejoicing. When it says with his people, that's with Israel. That's coming to God through Israel. It's not like some party or something. It's not inviting Jews into your church, into the body of Christ church. No. It's talking about the synagogues. If they wanted to bless Israel and come to the synagogues where the scriptures were kept, bring their tithes, you know, bless Israel. So it's talking about the Gentiles coming to God through Israel, with his people. Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Verse 12, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. So those Gentiles, the ones talked about in that section of Romans, they trust this root of Jesse, and Israel reigns over those Gentiles. Now, as you read in Deuteronomy 28, if you read the whole kind of long chapter, but if you read the whole thing, you see where if Israel obeys, they're the head of the nations, and if they disobey, they get all the curses. So, you know, that's what's involved with their when they see the Lord coming in the sky and realize, I guess they see the pierced hands, they realize they mourn for him, that they crucified him, and they receive him. But that's because the Lord pours out on them a spirit of grace and of supplication, and enables them to turn that curse into a blessing at that time. So the what I'd forgotten a word that I wanted to use here, but it's a perfect picture of the kingdom. It exactly matches the characteristics, what's going on in the kingdom, that thousand-year reign of Christ on earth, that Israel will be the head of the nations, and the Gentiles will be the tail then. That's what that Deuteronomy 28 talks about. That's when Israel will be the head. The Gentiles will be reigned over. And it's not talking about us, even though we're Gentile. We're not in the picture of the time where Paul is talking about. I hope that's clear. It's not about believing the gospel of salvation that only Paul preached. What he's talking about, these Gentiles that'll be in the kingdom after the tribulation period. That's not talking about Paul's gospel. It's not about being spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. It's too late for that then. It's only talking about the only way that Old Testament Gentiles had to come to God, through Israel. And again, it'll be through Israel, those Gentile survivors of the tribulation can come to God through Israel then. So we're going to stop there, I think, and then next week pick up with the last in that part before we get to the second sending. All right, comments, questions.